Pashtun Pacifists, a Perspective by Ron Sider. Dr. Ron Sider is president and founder of Evangelicals for Social Action, an organization dedicated to a biblical response to social justice. At the beginning of this article, there's a quote from Badshah Khan, a Pashtun Muslim leader. It goes, "There is nothing surprising in a Muslim or a Pashtun like me subscribing to the creed of nonviolence. It is not a new creed. It was followed 1,400 years ago by the Prophet all the time he was in Mecca, and it has since been followed by all those who wanted to throw off an oppressor's yoke. But we had so far forgotten it that when Gandhi placed it before us, we thought he was sponsoring a novel creed." Some people are so violent that nothing works with them but sheer brute force, right? The Pashtuns, the majority tribal group of southern Afghanistan and neighboring parts of Pakistan who provided the core of Taliban support, are among the most frequently nominated candidates for this category of irredeemably violent. Occupants for centuries of southern Afghanistan and the famous Khyber Pass, the strategic gateway from India to Russia, these vicious tribesmen defeated every invader. The 19th century British considered the Pashtuns the most savage warriors they had ever met. India's first prime minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, observed that the male Pashtun loved his gun better than his child or brother. An astonishing, often overlooked episode of Pashtun history, however, hints at less violent possibilities. Inspired by Gandhi's nonviolent campaign for freedom from British colonialism, the Pashtuns created the first highly trained professional nonviolent army, 80,000 nonviolent Pashtun peacemakers who refused to kill even under extreme provocation. Badshah Khan, a Pashtun Muslim leader, persuaded tens of thousands of his fellow tribesmen to embrace Gandhi's vision of nonviolent struggle. Khan's nonviolent army, called the Servants of God, marched, drilled, wore a special red uniform, and developed a careful organizational structure complete with officers and a bagpipe corps. In April 1930, when Gandhi launched a widespread campaign of civil disobedience across India, the British responded brutally. Soldiers beat unarmed protesters with steel-tipped staffs. 100,000 Indians landed in jail. Nowhere was the repression as bad as in Badshah Khan's Pashtun homeland in the strategic northwest frontier. When he called his Pashtun people to nonviolent resistance, Khan was quickly arrested. Nonviolent civil disobedience promptly broke out everywhere among the Pashtuns. Bayonets and bullets were the British response. On one bloody afternoon, they killed over 200 unarmed protesters and wounded many more. British brutality inspired massive support for Khan's nonviolent army, which quickly swelled to 80,000 volunteers. Fearing this Pashtun nonviolence even more than their former savagery, the British did everything to destroy the red shirts and provoke them to violence. They ordered them to strip naked in public and beat them into unconsciousness when they refused. After public humiliation, many were thrown into pools of human excrement. Everywhere, the British hunted Badshah Khan's nonviolent army like animals, but the proud Pashtuns remained firmly nonviolent. For the next decade and a half, Badshah Khan and his nonviolent red shirts played a key role in the battle for independence. They worked consistently for peace and reconciliation. In 1946, when thousands died in Hindu-Muslim violence, 10,000 of Khan's servants of God protected Hindu and Sikh minorities in the northwest frontier and eventually restored order in the large city of Peshawar. Finally, in 1947, Gandhi's campaign of nonviolence intervention wrested Indian independence from the British Empire. Badshah Khan's peaceful army of Pashtun redshirts deserved a good deal of the credit. that such men, Gandhi exclaimed, who would have killed a human being with no more thought than they would kill a sheep or a hen, should, at the bidding of one man, have laid down their arms and accepted nonviolence as the superior weapon, sounds almost like a fairy tale. The fact that they did, if only for a couple of decades, should caution us against despairing of the struggle to create nonviolent alternatives, even in the toughest circumstances. Just war theorists argue that war must be a last resort after all practical nonviolent alternatives have been tried. Pacifists claim to have an alternative to war. Surely an obvious next step is for both to work together to train tens of thousands of nonviolent troops like Khan's Muslim Servants of God and the Mennonite-initiated Christian peacemaker teams that today move between warring groups in places as difficult as Hebron, Chiapas, and Colombia. Perhaps Jesus' summons to love your enemies is not as naive as many suppose. One need not believe that nonviolence can quickly resolve every violent conflict to accept the fact that stunning examples of nonviolence exist, even among the Afghan Pashtuns. Perhaps $1 billion or $2 spent on training thousands, both just war and pacifist folks, for disciplined peacemaker teams ready to intervene nonviolently in the most intractable conflicts might be a wise investment. What exists is possible. This article appeared in This article appeared in Timeline, May-June 2002. At the end of the article is a reference to a book, A Man to Match His Mountains, Badshah Khan, Nonviolent Soldier of Islam, by Eknath Iswaran, from the Milgiri Press, 1984. Read by Martin Jones.